Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Planetary Night, and it is the 10th day of the White Wizard Wave Spell. And I waited until the end of this day to talk about it because I anticipated that there would be things that we might want to look at astrologically. It's Wednesday, the 6th of January, 2021. Is that going to be like a famous day? I'm not sure. I could tell on White Solar Wind, which was Tuesday, obviously, and a portal day, that I didn't have new information yet. That even though it was a White Wind day, which is about communicating the breath of spirit, there was still something that was going to be, as we say, manifested in this wave spell of White Wizard. And that's true, right? The White Wizard wave spell is this kind of poignant microcosm of the macrocosm, which is a 13-year wave spell of the White Wizard that we are in. We're at a year and a half in of 13 years. And so you could say that this 13-day wave spell of White Wizard is kind of like a hallmark, you know, a reference point, that it's a moment where you could augur the larger cycle by living in the smaller version. And I talk about it as a time of enchantment, and I get really fixated on it being like mythology or fairy tale, that there isn't really a lot of, you know, resolved positive outcome or ease until the very end of the story. And along the way, there are ups and downs in terms of finding your way forward through magic and guidance, and then losing your way and being drawn off your path by negative influences like, you know, the ogre and the wicked witch. And so there is all of this room and breadth to be caught in the moment in the White Wizard time, because everything is oriented around this journey of spiritual, emotional survival, physical survival, of course, as well. Like, maybe that's what the fairy tales really point to, is making it out of the woods or away from the evil that's trying to take hold. And we have a version of that in our modern realities, but there is just a lot of being in touch with magic, dark and light, and being driven into present time to navigate it. And I love that. That's just one of my favorite things, is being in present time while really actively alert. You know, I'm not good at being in present time when there's nothing to pay attention to, but I like kind of the chaotic or even the trauma-induced present moments where you're just like, I don't know how to plan and I can't quite remember what happened before this because all my attention is needed here now. And I think that that was the manifestation too of this 10-day run to the peak of our White Wizard wave spell. The peak of the wave is today, the 6th of January. It's the planetary day, and that's the highest we go in the wave formation, and then tomorrow we fall back to Earth in a breaking wave. And so we would say, oh, it's the manifestation of the growth and altitudinal reach of White Wizard. White Wizard is trying to take off and soar and both be seen and see from above, to be empowered, to be accomplished. And then there's a limit to how much growth will happen, how much elevation can be gained, and then we fall back because of gravity. I say this over and over again. But if you just think about a wave spell, the start of it is the first day, and the wave spell is named for the first day. It's invoking the tribe of the first day. And I always feel like those 10 days of ascent belong to the namesake of the wave spell, to White Wizard. But then, you know, White Wizard's ascendancy is over, even though the wave spell keeps going. And that there is not a kind of, it's not like a loss of power or accomplishment for the White Wizard, for the energy field of White Wizard. It doesn't disappear after the 10th day today. It just means that it has to be reintegrated with its opposite and brought back, kind of coalesced in wholeness to Earth. So let me spell that out for you in case you're new or you need to be reminded. A wave spell always on the 11th day, the spectral day, is met by its opposite balancing tribe. And that's because on our fingers and toes, we count to 20 tribes, but we're counting in such a way that our opposite finger or toe is considered the opposite and balancing tribe to each other. So if we're in the White Wizard time, we're in the left pinky finger. And when we get to the 11th day, the spectral day, we're in the right pinky finger. That's just how the count works. And the right pinky finger is yellow seed. And so tomorrow, Thursday, the 7th of January, will be yellow spectral seed, and the wave breaks, and it breaks into this opposite balancing energy. And that's what I mean. Like, the wave spell's growth is undone by its opposite and balancing energy. And then there's another day after that to settle for the wave, as we visualize it, to settle from foment down to stillness. And then there is this very still afterbirth that happens on the 13th day, which is also an initiation or an opening, the stage for the next wave spell to enter. So we go through this rhythm over and over again, and I just want you to feel it in your own experience of your own wave spell, that your peak evolutionary growth for the wave spell, if you're a White Wizard person, for example, is today. And then you have to let go. And that's what we all have to do, because we can get caught up. Like, I love White Wizard, the wave spell. I love it. It hasn't disappointed me. And so I get to the peak and I'm like, oh, I want the enchantment to keep going. And I have to let go. And yellow seed is not disenchantment. It's just the infusion of something very solid and real and earthen and, you know, dense. It's just very physical, not ethereal. It's a form of reality. So I can be not disappointed, but just sort of, oh, I can describe, like, oh, the White Wizard time is, it's just evolving even further. It's not getting caught in ascendancy. It's not getting caught in accomplishment, achievement. It's not, you know, declared the winner. It's not supreme. It's just part of our rolling way of life in natural time. And it has its most obvious moment of peaking, and then in order to create balance, it's brought back down to the planet for something else to grow. Okay, a lot of you know that. I think I'm being somewhat long-winded, and it's because I'm reluctant to talk about American culture in the midst of, you know, really selling how dear enchantment and mythology becomes to me, especially in this White Wizard time. And by that, I also mean the 13 years we're in. Like, I love this White Wizard 13-year time. but I feel reluctant. Not that anyone's asking me to, but I'm asking aloud, like, how do we describe Blue Planetary Night as the day that, you know, I think my politics are similar to most people listening, but it's just like, you know, I really liked history, so I can sound a little stodgy and less new wave. It's just like, what the fuck? What is this fucking idiocy or insanity? Like, this parallel reality to others, how do they coexist, you know, and how does natural time offer any kind of keyhole into how divided people are and how someone like standing in my shoes, I'm like, well, that's just fucking crazy that you believe that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's completely sensible the way things actually are. Like, all these machinations of reinvention, like, how did you get that far down that rabbit hole? Like, I do understand because I pay attention how this happens. But I'm talking about it maybe in this moment more in the mystic way. Like, what is going on? And then I can be really simplistic and say, look, it's just like I said, we have 13 years of the fairy tale and a bunch of people are like in a delusional state because of some dark force of enchantment. And it certainly makes sense that there is like always a 50-50 divide in this country now in the blue lunar storm year, this year of polarity where everything is sort of 50-50, like shadow and light. It's a, you know, it's not a new moon or a full moon. It's the moon when it's, you know, just half of a disc in the sky, half white, half unseen, which would be shadow. So shadow and light, that's us right now. That is the lunar dilemma of this blue lunar storm year. I wonder if it means in the yellow electric seed year to come where we won't feel that. I mean, that's suspect to me. Does it really flip on July 26th that we finally end up not being divided in two? But meanwhile, it's all totally prophetic that we are. And what I was going to try to say is that, like, okay, I think this is planetary. I think the manifestation of Trump's challenge to do his bidding peaked, like his dark enchantment, his lure, his, you know, toxic poison apple enticements. That was, everyone ate it. Everyone, you know, drank the poison. Everyone was deluded by the dressed up hag on the side of the road in that fairy tale, you know, that it's always people in disguise. There was just this driving seduction, and it manifested in the coup, you know, the violent insurrection, maybe minimally violent, maybe not effectively a coup, but it just ended up being historically the first time that's had to be addressed. And he was so clearly driving it, even if he denies all the culpability. Like, and we're all mystified by the dark magic because we have no traction for saying, like, you are deceitful, you will be punished, you'll be removed. We just float along also, you know, under the influence. So anyway, the manifestation of the dark enchantment happened, and that makes sense for the peak of the white wizard wave spell. And then I'm just like, what is, you know, the house, this is our house, the people's house. Blue night this day is a lot about the house we live in, including the body our soul lives in, but the shelter that we seek from as a refuge from the harsh elements that make humans vulnerable. So could that be it? Like, you know, something to do with the house, the planetary house. I don't, see, it's not really clear and it doesn't need to be. I'm probably the only one trying to solve this riddle, but it just makes me really, really angry on a human level, on a personality level, that a time that is so pristine and sort of gorgeous to me in terms of the invitation to to be enamored with shamanism and healing. I just really can't stand it when I feel like we're so off course. So I think there'll be more, and I am sort of babbling, so let's get back to the basics here. I think that you understand from everything I've said what the White Wizard Wave Spell feels like. I mean, I'm describing how I feel it, and then you have your, please, your influence, your version. And it's sort of ending, as I described. And then we have this surround also this week of finishing, ending the rhythmic moon, the sixth moon of the year. And I would say a lot of that driving encouragement from Trump is like beating a drum harder and harder and harder, and the war dance, you know, and the fire, the flames, you know, just everything stoked, everything more fervent. Like that's like music, you know. I think it's very symphonic that he just drove everyone into this frenzy, and that's the way a lot of music excites itself at its climax, and then it resolves. It's part of the drama that keeps us listening. So it makes sense, I think, that we have this final crescendo before the overture ends. And then maybe you could find that in your own life, since I'm pointing it out as such. Like, where is your rhythm so reliable now, so smooth, and at the same time, you know, really feisty? You know, where are you driving forcefully as an organ, as a effective use of your person, your body? And then I get kind of afraid, because I have some of that going on in my life. Like, oh no, in the resonant moon, everyone just kind of goes into this meditative stupor or solace. You know, the resonant moon is not like being absent of energy. It's just being so sort of enfolded in a divine channel between heaven and earth that things get really spacious and nonlinear and maybe non-productive. But this is a pretty productive time, and you can congratulate yourself on whatever it is you've been able to bring to fruition or set in motion or forcefully move forward in the rhythmic moon that is ending on Saturday. So we just have a few days left. And you know about the surrounding year. Well, blue. Okay, so this is my other departure. I mean, I think last podcast, I feel like I was embarrassed because I was listening to some recordings about terrible serial killings that happened in the 70s. I was listening to podcasts myself while I do this work on my renovation. It's kind of great because then my mind is really engrossed in something that isn't this repetitive labor. But I was remembering how growing up in the 70s in California, it was really a threat in my mind that I could be raped. And so like rape was kind of breaking out and becoming a terrorizing part of the culture. So I'm sorry if that was like seemed out of nowhere or alarmist or alarming. You know, she's just talking about that now. But I talk about it maybe in that dark enchantment thing, that we're wrestling with something now that's not the same as 52 years ago. You know, I'm really hung up on you all connecting these years now to 52 years ago. So turning from 1968 to 1969, right now is the same as that window. And so the late 60s were fraught with civil unrest, you know, civic unrest. And I say to my daughters, like, this is it. I mean, I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime, but it has been experienced in our country before my awareness of it. And so there's so many ways that this time is reminiscent of that time. And it is intense to accept that it wasn't like bucolic after a couple of years of that unrest. you know, that it was a long haul, like an unwinding of a sort through many layers of tragic unfolding or sort of brutalizing cultural lessons. So breakthroughs happen, but then they have hangovers. And you just can watch for that in yourself. I think I talk about some of these things because it is a form of augury. And I have felt in my own life experience that if I can anticipate something, not because I'm trying to prepare for it or plan for it, but because I'm given some kind of intuitive understanding of what's coming, you know, I feel it. I feel drawn to behave a certain way inward or outward. And then I realize that we're being asked to be inward or outward by cultural or, you know, what's happening in the world. What's happening in the larger human world is something that I was prepared for just by an unconscious premonition. And so if I'm delivering some more conscious premonitions into your lap, it's so that you can endure the challenges that are coming or anticipate them and not be shocked. And I'm not the end-all be-all in prophecy. It's just that I can't help but be the person. I don't know if there are other people, even in the natural time movement, who are as fixated as I am on this 52-year cycle, because I'm in my ego, because I just turned 52. So it's really, really clear to me that we're redoing something that was my original birth. And I can like look out culturally. I was born into a really heightened time, and we're having a really heightened experience now. And let's connect it back, because it's a theme that I said last podcast. It's a white overtone mirror year, 2021 is, and we're in a 13-year white mirror wave spell in our Gregorian celebration of years. And I also talked podcasts ago about, you know, again, recently someone said, I thought the Mayan calendar ended in December 2012. They don't sound like dummies when they say it, but I feel sort of like I have to invoke that voice when I'm asked that, because I just, you know, I'm so steeped in a different perception that to step out of it and go, well, calendars never end without beginning again. So that's all that happened. Calendar ended, calendar began. You know, maybe the Maya said it was the last calendar. Maybe they had to, because they all ascended and didn't make it like to see this one. Who knows? Who knows? But when people want to know, like, why didn't anything happen in December 21st, 2012? Or then I say, oh, well, I mean, we're only 7 years out of that, 8 years out of that. And look, we have a pandemic. We have a fascist president. We have a coup attempt. Like, would this have been more revelatory if it happened 8 years ago? Or can it all be seen as the same thing? I don't need the general public to be like, oh my God, the Maya were right. Remember? Look, it's happening at all. But maybe we can integrate that here. Okay, well, I want to share one other thing that's not really on topic. It's just more of a confessional from someone who podcasts. I haven't had internet, and then I went on kind of an internet binge when my neighbor was like, you can use my internet, like through the walls. So I did go back online, and when you haven't been online in a while, it's almost like kid in a candy shop. And what I did was check out a few people that do Instagram Live. And I was like, my God. If I sound like other people that I listen to when I podcast, then I need to apologize to everyone. There just is so much built-in self-centeredness and ego mind in the identity of being the voice that other people are going to listen to. And there's so much confessionalism that people used to write in journals, I guess, or tell a friend, you know, a friend. And look, I don't have enough people listening that I'm super concerned that I'm overexposing myself, but please know that I am a very oversharing person in everyday life. I prefer to tighten down my social media feed so that I don't indulge that. I have poor filters. I'm very porous. That's how I become so empathic and sensitive. And yet I really want you to know, like, I don't want to be ever someone who sounds fake and false and self-important and just like a dumbass who is getting high or getting off on, you know, making people listen to my ideas. I mean, I do have low self-esteem. I am hard on myself. So maybe that sounds really extreme. Like, I do have confidence that this path of Mayan astrology, Mayan calendar, Mayan spirituality is phenomenal, not to be missed. Like, I'm completely down with that. That's why I overcome all my resistance and talk here about it. I also know that I am an expert. Like, it's been 21 years. Those years add up. I've never taken a break. I've never been dissuaded. I've never been out of it. And so why not, you know, own that I have a lot of knowledge and understanding and commitment and share it. That's what I'm doing here. And thank you, because I do believe that people listen because that's what's transmitted, not that I want you to pay attention. You know, just I get it that maybe without me knowing it, I do have some kind of persuasive authority about the subject matter. But on the personality side, I regret that so many people have to give voice and be public and share and have audiences in our modern world. I'm grateful for the podcasts I listen to, but I'm just astonished and sickened by the narcissism that is the norm. And so sometimes when I'm talking, I get self-involved and self-infatuated, and I try to impress, and I feel like I'm not pure or in the groove that I want to enter and maintain, and I'm going to be imperfect, but please know that that struggle is real for me, that consciousness. I don't want to seduce you. I don't want to impress you. I don't want to win you over. And I just almost like I would quit if I could, because I don't want that. I want people to love the calendar, and I also want to share that love. And I'm really antisocial. I mean, not like a serial killer, but like I just, I'm grateful that I can share my love alone, as you know, with my dogs in my empty half-built house on a microphone during a pandemic, and it goes out somewhere, and that is great. And this has really been heavy on me. So that's a big part of what I needed to share at the apex of this wave spell about enchantment, which celebrates the shaman. And I'm always saying lately, like, if you're a blue monkey person, you're a blue monkey shaman. That's your medicine that you heal with. And I am a shaman. You know, I'm a blue storm shaman, and that's the medicine I heal with. So we celebrate each other as shamans. Like, nobody's not a shaman who's listening. I said that before. Maybe there's some non-shamans who don't listen, but if you follow natural time, it's like being part of a Rotary Club or Elks Lodge or one of those things where the, you know, everyone sort of has an identity that's shared. So I think it's a shared shamanism. That's all I have to say. It is the time of the year, i.e. the Gregorian year, where people seem to want to have readings. And I thank you for that, because I really like reading and I try to make it affordable because I like it and because I think it's useful. And so I am encouraging everyone to take me up on that. I think my readings are well-priced and affordable so that you can. And don't stop after we move into the resonant moon. That's really a draw. I think we call it the new year in the Gregorian calendar, but it's just a draw in the resonant moon to get psychic and get help finding your way, understanding the channel that we enter. And I'm happy to help. And I'm sort of selling myself a bit right now because I just really love reading people and indulge me. And I'll be back really soon in a few days. So I don't think I'm going to do more astrology here right now about the future. I'm just going to encourage everyone to watch the news through the lens of the Mayan teachings so that you can also step out of your ego. I'm not calling you egotistical, but it's almost the human condition. But it's interesting to connect your own cycling through the calendar with the cultures. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in the Keshe.